Shri Shri Mahadas Dhamani Goshra Hezi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki. ISKCON BBT Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki. Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda Ki. Nam Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki. Remja Gaho Si Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Si Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Go Bhakta Vrinda Ki. Si Si Radha Krishna Go Gopina Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki. Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki. Sri Mathura Dham Ki. Sri Mayapur Navadvip Dham Ki. Jamuna Mai Ki. Ganga Devi Ki. Bhakti Devi Ki. Tulsi Devi Ki. Sama Veda Bhakta Vrinda Ki. All glories to the symbol devotees. All glories to the symbol devotees. All glories to the symbol devotees. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 15, Text 49. Vidura pi parityajya prabhashe deham atmanah Krishna Vishena. Tachchitaha Pitribihi Svashayam Yayo Viduropi Parityajya Prabhashe Deham Atmanaha Krishna Vishe Krishna Veshana Tachchitaha Pitribihi svakshayak yayo Vidura, the uncle of Maharaj Yudhisthira. Api, also. Parityajya, after quitting the body. Prabhashe, in the place of pilgrimage at Prabhash. Dehamatmanaha, his body. Krishna, the personality of Godhead. Aveshena, being absorbed in that thought. Tat, his. Chitta, thoughts and actions. Pitribhi, along with the residents of Pitriloka. Svakshayam, his own abode. Yo-yo, departed. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Vidura, while on pilgrimage, left his body at Prabhash. Because he was absorbed in thought of Lord Krishna, he was received by the denizens of Pitri Loka planet, where he returned to his original post. Purport. The difference between the Pandavas and Vidura is that the Pandavas are eternal associates of the Lord, the personality of Godhead, whereas Vidura is one of the administrative demigods in charge of the Pitriloka planet and is known as Yamaraja. Men are afraid of Yamaraj because it is he only who awards punishment to the miscreants of the material world, but those who are devotees of the Lord have nothing to fear from him. To the devotees, he is a cordial friend, but to the non-devotees, he is fear personified. As we have already discussed, it is understood that Yamaraj was cursed by Manduka Muni to be degraded as a Shudra, and therefore Vidura was an incarnation of Yamaraja. As an eternal servant of the Lord, he displayed his devotional activities very ardently and lived the life of a pious man, so much so that a materialistic man like Dhritarashtra also got salvation by his instruction. So by his pious activities and the devotional service of the Lord, He was able to always remember the lotus feet of the Lord, and thus he became washed of all contamination of a Shudra-born life. At the end, he was again received by the denizens of Pitriloka and posted in his original position. The demigods are also associates of the Lord without personal touch, whereas the direct associates of the Lord are in constant personal touch with him. The Lord and his personal associates incarnate in many universes without cessation. The Lord remembers them all, whereas the associates forget due to their being very minute parts and parcels of the Lord. They are apt to forget such instances due to being infinitesimal. This is corroborated in the Bhagavad Gita 4.5. So this verse is about going back to home, back to Godhead, which is the goal of our lives. Materialists have a different goal, namely to stay within this material world and to enjoy as much as possible. But the devotees who are sober-minded never forget what the real goal of life is. And for this purpose, they have to keep properly engaged constantly in the service of the Lord. Because otherwise, there is always a chance that we will be deviated. Just as by a little inattentiveness, great havoc can come. For example, if one crosses a street without proper attention, one can be hit by an oncoming car. Or in a small way, when one shaves, Prabhupada gives this example, one shaves one's face, if one turns the razor in the wrong direction, immediately one can cut himself. So a little inattentiveness in spiritual life can create problems. So an intelligent devotee has to guide their daily activities to make a schedule where at every moment one is in Krishna's service. Fortunately, there are so many different ways that we can be absorbed in serving Krishna. The practice of sadhana bhakti includes an endless variety of opportunities for offering service to Krishna. So no one need feel that he or she cannot have the chance to serve Krishna. According to each person's nature, the spiritual master will engage one accordingly to be able to devote one's entire energy in the service of Krishna. Now, Vidura is explained here to be some background information is given beyond his present devotional life. Of course, as a devotee, he was born within the family of the Kauravas. He was the brother of Dhritarashtra and Pandu. They were three brothers. And Vidura was born to the same father, but the mother was a Shudra, Sudrani. So he could not inherit the kingdom. When Pandu died, and then Dhritarashtra took over. But actually Pandu's sons were meant to inherit the kingdom. But Pandu, because he died when the sons were young, Dhritarashtra took over, and Vidura lived there, like the uncle of the Pandavas and the Kauravas. And of course he was a devotee of the Lord, and as such he favored the Pandavas over the Kauravas. And he gave very good instruction at the time before the Kurukshetra battle, trying to ward off the disaster that was about to take place. In fact, previous to that, he told Dhritarashtra that your son Duryodhana is very bad, and he spoke many truthful words about the Kauravas, but they could not hear. And Duryodhana offended Vidura practically reminded him of his lower birth as the son of a Sudrani, and out of disgust, Vidura left the home and went on pilgrimage. So, the background, of course, beyond that is that in his previous birth, he was Yamaraj, the Lord of Death. And it, of course, Yamaraj is one of the 12 Mahajans, so one may wonder how is it possible that he could be born as a Shudra. And we know this story is indicated here. Manduka Muni was a great sage who in his childhood happened to childishly pluck a sharp blade of grass through an insect's body, injuring or perhaps killing the insect. And as a result, later on in life, he himself was put into a position, not because of any particular thing he did, but indirectly, where he was going to be thrown onto swords to be killed as a punishment. And he became extremely disturbed by this, not so much for the fact that he was going to die, but why should he die, especially in this way? And he was thinking that the Lord of Death, certainly, how is this possible? Then it was explained to him that you are getting this reaction because of what you did as a child. And at that point, he became very disturbed with Yamaraj, the Lord of Death, who awards punishment, and said that you are ignorant. You are like a Shudra. Your intelligence is like fit for a Shudra, that you blame a small innocent child. Children are not to be blamed. Children are not to be blamed, and I suppose the good luck of the women, they also are beyond reproach. Which means women can do all stupid things and not be blamed. However, as we shall see in the next verse, it's not exactly like that. I might say a few words about the next verse. And old men, you know, soon this is one of the advantages of getting old, you also don't get blamed. So we're all, you know, in the same league together. Children, women, and old men. Whoever fits in those categories can take pleasure in knowing that we are blameless. So, Vidura said, this Yamaraj is really no better than a Shudra, and he cursed them to take, Manduka Muni cursed Yamaraj, you should take birth as a Shudra. So this is how he took his birth as the son of a Sudrani. And of course he could have made some arrangement. At least he's a very powerful individual, but he thought this is the will of the Lord, so he took birth. And he didn't mind it because, as was his fortune, he took birth not just as a Shudra, but he took birth in the family of Krishna. So who cares what is one's birth, you see. And as we know, birth doesn't tell really anything. It's all according to what you make of your life. Otherwise, from the point of view of birth, we're all condemned. We are all misconceived. Varna Sankara. It's not as if our parents performed any type of Garbhadana Samskar or any of the Samskars for that matter. And yet here we sit on the Vyasa-san speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. Why? Because as Prabhupada explains in a previous verse, quoting the verse of Sanatana Goswami, that just as bell metal can be turned into gold by an alchemical process, similarly by the process of initiation from a bona fide spiritual master, one who is low-born can be made a twice-born Brahmin. In other words, by the due process of initiation, which involves training of a disciple can become qualified to go back to God, and it doesn't matter what their background or birth is. Everything depends upon good association and how you take advantage of it. Because as we see here, the Kauravas also had the good association of none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. But what did they make of it? Simply they became envious. That's all. They had the association of Krishna's eternal devotees, the Pandavas. And what did they make of it? They became envious, that's all. So, it's not just that association is important. As you know, a mosquito associates more intimately with you than practically anyone. But what does he do? Drinks your blood. You see? His kiss is that he drinks your blood. So it's not as if closeness is any guarantee of some type of transfer of spiritual benefits. It may only be a transfer of blood. So we have to know how to take advantage of the association of saintly persons. And of course, it is mentioned that you should go before a saintly person who is more advanced and treat them like your spiritual master. You should try to serve them submissively, hear from them, and they will reward you with transcendental knowledge. They will bless you with transcendental understanding. So, Vidura purified himself through the process of devotional service so that all the taints of his mundane existence as a son of a Sudrani were cleansed away. Prabhupada makes a distinction here between the Kauravas and the Pandavas. The Kauravas are, at least this one, Vidura, was formerly Yamaraj, and Yamaraj is an administrative demigod. Whereas the Pandavas are eternal associates. There's a difference. We see Nectar of Devotion explains that servants of the Lord, in regard to Dasyaras, it explains that there are different types of those who were in the mood of Dasya, Dasya Bhakti Ras. The administrative demigods are servitors of the Lord. They're in Dasya Bhakti Ras. And the servants of Krishna in his household, etc., they're also in Dasya Bhakti Ras. And the sons of Krishna, they're also in the mood of filial affection, Dasya Bhakti Ras. So they're all in the mood of Dasya, but they have different types of feelings of servitude. The administrative demigods, of course, worship the Lord, especially in the form of Vishnu, because Vishnu is the Lord of the universe, and they are administrating the universe. So they see themselves as Vishnu's eternal servants. The servants of the Lord, depending on their station, that is to say, whether they're in Mathura, Dwarka, or Vrindavan, they have their particular types of services to Krishna, and of course the sons are in Dwarka. So the best of the servants are those who are in Vrindavan. They get to see Vrindavan Chandra Krishna. They're most fortunate. But Krishna is described perfect, more perfect, and most perfect. Perfect in Dwarka, more perfect in Mathura, and most perfect in Vrindavan. So those who serve that most perfect person are most perfect also. Although there's nothing in any way imperfect in any of the three categories. It starts with perfection. And it gets to perfect, more perfect than most perfect. So one cannot say, if one even suggests that there's any hint of imperfection, that's incorrect. If something is perfect, it is perfect. There's no imperfection in it. That's the definition of perfection. It implies no imperfection. So to suggest that something is lacking, it is not lacking. Still, there's something added. It's not lacking, but there's something additional, demonstrated by Krishna in Vrindavan and by his devotees in Vrindavan. So those who are servants of the Lord, they do very nice services for him. They assist Mother Yasoda and Nanda Maharaj in serving Krishna and Balaram. They'll go out with Krishna to the fields, bring some cool water for him to drink, bring some nice sweetmeats for him to eat, fan him, various things, bring his sandals to him if he needs them, whatever they do. These are the activities of the eternal servants of Krishna. Now, in the next verse, it mentions that Draupadi also saw that her husbands, without caring for her, were leaving home. She knew well about Lord Vasudeva Krishna, the personality of Godhead. Both she and Subhadra became absorbed in thoughts of Krishna and attained the same results as their husband. purport by Prabhupada. When flying in an airplane, one cannot take care of other planes. Everyone has to take care of his own plane. And if there is any danger, no other plane can help another in that condition. Similarly, at the end of life, when one has to go back home, back to Godhead, everyone has to take care of himself without help rendered by another. The help is, however, offered on the ground before flying in space. Similarly, the spiritual master, the father, the mother, the relatives, the husband, and others can all render help during one's lifetime. But while crossing the sea, one has to take care of himself and utilize the instructions formerly received. Draupadi had 5 husbands, and no one asked Draupadi to come. Draupadi had to take care of herself without waiting for her great husbands. And because she was already trained, she at once took the concentration upon the lotus feet of Lord Vasudeva, Krishna, the personality of Godhead. The wives also got the same result as their husbands in the same manner. That is to say, without changing their bodies, they reached the destination of Godhead. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur suggests that both Draupadi and Subhadra, although her name is not mentioned here, got the same result. None of them had to quit their body. So, certainly a very encouraging statement for our lady devotees that by good training, they can also achieve the same destination as anyone, as it is mentioned. Striya vaisya sudras tepiyanti parangatim. Parangatim means the supreme goal, the supreme path, the supreme destination. And what is that? That is the abode of Krishna. Striya vaisya sudras, women, vaishyas, and shudras, everyone in Kali Yuga, can get this goal. Now, Prabhupada makes a nice point in the purport that you have to one day fly your own airplane. You can take help. Your spiritual master can coax you and coach you and do so many things to encourage you. But at a certain point, you have to make use of the training you got. So we should not be so dependent that we are like little babies, that we want our spiritual master to do everything and anything for us. Because one day, and that day may come before we realize it, we will have to fly our own airplanes. Now, one may read this and wonder, well, what does that mean? Does it mean the spiritual master will abandon me when I'm ready to leave my body? No, the spiritual master will not abandon you, but you have to fly your own airplane. God helps those who help themselves. A guru will be your ever-well-wisher. Vaishnavas will be your ever-well-wisher. Krishna will be guiding you also. Everyone will always be there. At the same time, you have to show your ability. Just like we don't say, you know, you can see how the results are in Sankirtan. Some devotees do very nicely in Sankirtan, and some devotees do very little. Now, it's not as if, you know, what does it mean? That someone did very little, does it mean the guru abandoned that person? No, it doesn't mean that at all. It means that the person did not exert themselves or practice Krishna consciousness very expertly while they were on Sankirtan, and therefore there was no result. It doesn't mean that the guru abandons the person. It just means that the person is not practicing bhakti yoga properly. And the same is true for any activity, including the final activity when we have to get ready to go back home, back to Godhead. We have to, you know, exert ourselves in such a way that we will take advantage of the help the guru and Krishna and Vaishnavas are offering to us. So, how important it is for the ladies to train themselves is mentioned here, because they too will have to be responsible for themselves. They must train themselves nicely. And here, two wonderful examples, outstanding role models, are provided. Draupadi and Subhadra. Draupadi, the wife of the 5 Pandavas, and Subhadra, the sister of Krishna and wife of Arjuna. So certainly they were good friends because they're co-wives. Both are wives of Arjuna. So they were very, very close friends. And therefore, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur very accurately states that although it only mentions in the verse Draupadi, Prabhupada adds in the translation and Subhadra because of the commentary of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, who says Draupadi means Draupadi and Subhadra because they were always together. They were co-wives. And when their husbands left, note this point, their husbands, when they left, they didn't, you know, make a big arrangement. Although now our GBC body, you know, requires that anyone who takes sannyas has to make a big arrangement. They have to be able to prove to the GBC that they have made an arrangement for their wife's care. Otherwise, they're not allowed to take sannyas. When I took sannyas, I didn't make any arrangement. I just disappeared. But now, because of all the abandoned wives, the GBC, and unfortunately the husbands generally have been quite irresponsible, took sannyas. So many sannyasis did not remain sannyasis. So the GBC has said that now anyone who takes sannyas has to prove that they have made arrangement for their wives and their children so that there will be no burden on the society of ISKCON. At the same time, the wives and children will be well looked after. But here, the classical example, Pandavas just took off. They walked out. Yudhisthira didn't even say anything to his brothers. His brothers, who had practically given their lives for him, sacrificed everything. These five Pandavas who grew up and went through the, you know, every possible calamity together, when it came time for Yudhisthira to renounce, he didn't say a word to anyone. He didn't even talk to his brothers. He didn't tell them. He didn't tell his wife. Just got up and walked out. And it's described, it was practically like him. He appeared to be mad. He didn't make any arrangement physically. He just walked. He became resolute, absolutely resolute, fixed in determination that now Krishna has left this world. I see no reason to stay here anymore. And he walked towards the Himalayas, which is the place where great saintly persons take shelter. And when his brothers saw what he is doing, they also followed his example. And when the two wives, Draupadi and Subhadra, saw what their husbands had done, every one of them understood, now there's nothing left in this world. Now we must come to that stage. We are so concerned now about our body. Is my body in good health? Do I have proper clothing? Do I have a nice shelter for myself? So much energy is being exerted simply on behalf of the body. And yet, at a certain point, one has to be not the body. When Draupadi and Subhadra left, they weren't thinking about their body. They just took off for the Himalayas. They didn't take, well, okay, Subhadra, you know, take your traveler's checks. Get your American Express card with you in case, you know, we get snowed in somewhere. They didn't make a phone call up to, you know, Yogi so-and-so to arrange a comfortable room for them and make sure there was some hot water for their bath. They just walked. Nothing. They had whatever, I'm sure they just had their saris on, finished, and walked. And what is most striking about this is they didn't die. They walked right into the snowy Himalayas and they didn't die. They walked right back into the spiritual world. Well, this is certainly unusual, and, you know, it's not too likely that anyone here is going to be able to accomplish this. These personalities are not ordinary persons. They are so much absorbed in love for Krishna that they were not in their bodies. They were not in this world. They walked into the spiritual world because they were already in the spiritual world. And Krishna just accepted them back, Prabhupada said, in their self-same bodies. They didn't have to give up their body at the time of death. So, Draupadi and Subhadra are no less than the Pandavas in their greatness, their intimacy with Krishna. And as I said, they can be held up as perfect examples for all of our ladies to model themselves after. I'm going to stop here and ask if anyone has any questions. At the right time. I didn't say what you said. I said at the right time. Not now. Now you have to give the body importance because you're not so advanced. At the right time, when you get old and you're ready to die. Bhagavad Gita says, don't eat too much, don't eat too little. Don't sleep too much, don't sleep too little. You sleep too little, you can't perform bhakti yoga. If you eat too little, you can't perform bhakti yoga properly. But at the right time, you don't eat and you don't sleep and you don't mate and you don't defend. When it gets time to leave your body, you stop all material activities and you simply remember Krishna. So practice. Reduce eating, reduce sleeping, reduce mating, reduce defending. Practice. Prepare yourself for that final test. That depends on your eternal relationship with Krishna. Every individual has a specific relationship with Krishna. The soul, your soul, you have a relationship already with Krishna. But it is covered now. You have forgotten it. So when you go back to Godhead, if you go back to Godhead, then your spiritual form will immediately manifest and it will be suitable for the particular relationship you have with Krishna. Are you going to remember what you did here today? Why should you? Just like supposing you wake up from a nightmare, you have a bad dream. Do you want to remember it? So we won't choose to remember this material world because it is a bad dream. Because he's an administrative demigod and he had business to do to serve Krishna.
It wasn't
Well, just like supposing you had a choice to go back to Godhead, but you knew that there were still a lot of houses that hadn't been renovated. You take your next birth here in this community to finish your work, right? Because you're a pure devotee. You wouldn't have any selfish interests. So Vidura is such a pure devotee that he considered that I have my service to Krishna. I'm Yamaraj. I have to administrate. That's my duty. Because then Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojyata Gyanayati Asabhairagyam Gyanam Chayat Ahoy Tukam. Automatically, knowledge and detachment will come as you perform Bhakti Yoga. Automatically, it will come. Knowledge comes with the advancement of Bhakti Yoga practice. Detachment will automatically develop. The opposite of detachment is attraction. So as you become attracted more and more to Krishna, you'll lose your interest in material attachments. You'll be more detached. So you don't have to force yourself to become detached. You have to force yourself to become attracted to Krishna. And by the attraction to Krishna, automatically you'll become detached from material pleasure. Positive engagement.
In this purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions about how we have to fly our own plane. But we've seen several examples in other parts of the Bhagavatam when someone's ready to leave their body, some Vaikuntha airplanes coming down, driven by a couple of Vishnu Dutas. Isn't that a preferable situation?
But that is a special case. The special case of Dhruva Maharaj getting a spaceship coming down for him is some special arrangement of the Lord. And it doesn't mean literally fine. You know, you don't literally get into the cockpit of a Cessna, you know, jet, executive jet, or, you know, a two-prop plane. No. Fly your own plane means that you have to pilot your, direct your consciousness. Who can force you? Your guru is beating you with mantras, but still, you know, you have to direct your own consciousness. You have to remember Krishna. That's the point.
We often hear that liberated souls become Sri Kalajnani, or aware of the past, present, future.
If Krishna desires, they can be aware of the past, present, and future, Sri Kalajnani. But it doesn't mean, you know, if it means that when necessary, they can know the past or the present or the future. Otherwise, if you can imagine what it would be like having to remember simultaneously every single thing that happened in your past and everything that ever is going to happen in your future, you wouldn't be able to function. You'd be reduced to some kind of a dysfunctional, you know, catatonic personality that was just sitting there, you know, just stunned by all these remembrances. You wouldn't be able to do anything. So it means when required, one knows the past. That's what it means.
You've heard in Prabhupada's books that when you're going back home, there are a lot of tests along the way. There's the majesty of Vaikuntha. And if we are already perfect, why are we given this test along the way?
Because perfect doesn't mean that. They're just like it's described. Maharaj Bharat was also perfect, but he fell down. Of course, he was on the platform of Baba Bhakti, and you can say this. But the point is that the tests are finally there. It's the final tests. Perfect, but still there's more tests to be taken. We'll test your perfection. You're almost perfect. Call it that way. And by passing the tests of the majesties of Vaikuntha and other types of offerings made at the final moment as one goes back to Godhead, then you've actually finally passed the full test. These are the last tests.
Aren't those tests actually eternal and then Krishna is always giving?
Not exactly. They're true, they are, but once one reaches the spiritual world, it's a different position than when one is on the way to the spiritual world.
Sometimes we hear that, well, I'm not sure, that Narayana Rishi is Krishna and Arjuna.
Huh.
And
this is on the subject of what we're talking about? Okay.
It seems that Arjuna was also present on the earth in a different form. That's Arjuna and Pandava at the same time, simultaneously.
Yeah, that can be. There's no problem. The devotees of the Lord can expand themselves to be in more than one form or place by the will of the Lord. The liberated souls like Arjuna are capable of being simultaneously in many places. They can do that. If an ordinary yogi can be in 8 places, an ordinary yogi can expand himself 8 times. What to speak of an eternal associate of Krishna? How do you think Narada Muni was able to go into 16,000 palaces simultaneously? Narada Muni went to Dwarka and saw Krishna in all of his palaces, in each palace doing something different at the same time. How did he do it? If he himself, unless he himself could expand himself to 16,000 times, then how could he do it? If you say that he raced around, but so Krishna could have raced faster than him. It doesn't say that. Matajis, yes, Andrew.
At what age children are not responsible for their actions, and at that time are parents responsible for anything?
Five or six years old, then the child goes into the Gurukul. But since your child is a daughter, she's never responsible. responsible, but not held to blame. Doesn't mean that you're not responsible. It just means that ladies will not be blamed. The feminine sex will not be blamed, but it doesn't mean they're not responsible. It's not that because you're a woman, you automatically go back to Godhead. You're responsible. Huh?
And women also suffer reactions.
Yes, they do. But they're to be forgiven more easily. No. Pandavas, no. All right, let us end here. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaur Bhaktivrinda ki, Gaur Premanandi. Jai.